As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Back again with another week of fun things that are going on in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. Once again, this is the place where you find the most interesting people in the Ville. I have done it again for you folks. I went out and I found two really interesting people who are doing cool things right here in Louisville, Kentucky. In the second half of the show, I'm going to have a visit with a local writer who has done something that most people who do writing want to do, and I guess a lot of us don't have the guts. I've done it once, and I went back. But anyway, Kevin Gibson has quit his job in corporate America, trying to make it as a freelance writer. He's written a book about beer. And Kevin knows a lot about beer, and he seems to write about a lot of fun things. And I had a neat conversation with him down at the Against the Grain Brewery. And so stay tuned for the second half of the show, and you'll hear from Kevin. My first guest is a personality that anybody in this town in the advertising and marketing community is familiar with. The curious personality, I suppose, of Pip Pullen, who is running a firm called Mightily, and it is a brand, a brand building firm. They build websites, and Pip has some great opinions, great ideas about things. He's just fun to talk to. He's got this accent, and a while back, one of his coworkers, back when he was at Red 7E, came up with this sort of thing that went viral on the internet called "Shit Pip Wears," and it was a funny side. Ever since I've known Pip, admired the stuff that he's doing, and he's followed my stuff. So anyway, we got together in his office is down at 222 South First Street, and they have his company, which is this version of it is fairly new, is just growing by leaps and bounds. They've already outgrown their original space. And so we talk about what it took to do that. And so you'll see that. We'll hear about that from Pip right here in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about my real estate agent, Bob Sokoler, who is a those of you who listen to the show know Bob was responsible when I wanted to buy a house. I had a different experience than Bob had a different experience helping me buy a house versus helping my girlfriend Paula buy a house. Because Paula, she took several months, looked at, seems like a couple of hundred houses, and Bob took her on all these trips, and they went around to see all the houses, and she finally decided on one and bought it. And then I went to Bob and I said, here's a couple of houses I want to see. I went out on a Sunday and looked at the house I'm in right now and said, I'll take that one. And Bob coordinated all the purchasing details. Bob Sculler and the Sculler Medley team at Remax Properties East can answer any question you have about real estate transactions, the market, what's going on, and if you're Bob's client, you're going to be treated right and in a first class way. And Bob's got all the technology and can take care of you on your real estate transaction. So try Bob at 376-5483 and tell him that Rusty Satellite sent you over there. That'd be great. So anyway, a lot going on this week. First, I think we'll just go ahead and get into the first interview with Pip Pullen. Every week I don't plan these interviews far out in advance. Fortunately, Pip was available this week, and I was able to go down to his place on First Street on a beautiful day and talk to Pip. Here it is. All right, and today the Rusty Satellite Show is downtown with one of the most colorful personalities in town, I would say, Pip Pullen. Pip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
This is quite a space you've got here. We're sitting in the unfinished upstairs of your office here on First Street. Tell me what's going on here.
This is about two or three times the size of our last office. We started the company back in November.
And the company, I hadn't said yet, is Mightily.
That's right. Brand-centered online communication firm. Started in November with about 3 people, and now we're at 12, and so we needed new space and a cooler space from the offices we're in. And just perchance, this happened to be available right above the current offices, which surprised me, because the office we're in feels like a doctor's office, and
yeah.
This actually feels like a really
cool. Well, there
cool
are a lot of doctor's offices
agency.
Downstairs, I saw. Yeah,
yeah. So we do plastic surgery, too.
Well, good. Let me ask you, you know, this is, I know this firm started from like scratch, not much over a year ago, and all this growth, what do you attribute that to?
The bones of the company was started 15 years ago. My partner, Lisa Siebert, started the programming side 15 years ago, and I started in programming 15 years ago. So that's been ongoing. We just changed the structure of the company back in November to, as I said, a brand center firm. So the growth, I think, has come from the fact that nobody else is doing this around here. It's, as you know, I came from Red 70, which is probably the best, I think, the best ad agency around.
Okay.
And they came at everything from a very brand-centric idea centric place where you had strategy and thought and design and writing before you actually made stuff, and that wasn't happening in the web and online environment. They pretty much have a machine for cranking out websites, and then they stick the brand all over it at the end of it, and we do it a different way. And I think there just was a real desire for some really thoughtful, intelligent, creative work, and I think that's why we've grown so quickly. There was a hole in the market, and I think we're doing a little bit to fill it.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting company, and we'll get back to, maybe I'll ask you about some of your clients and stuff, but I want to ask about you, because I can tell by your accents, you're not from around here, as we like to say. Tell me about your journey to Louisville.
Somebody actually asked me that this morning, how did I end up in Louisville, and my stock answer was just bad luck. But actually, it was good fortune. It was a scholarship to a local college, which then turned into a scholarship to grad school in St. Louis. Came back here, I was actually going to do PhD work in Chicago, and got sidetracked, became an illustrator, which might have been how we met a long time ago.
Yeah.
Did editorial cartoon for the cartooning for the paper every week. And that sort of transmogrified into marketing and design, and ultimately into advertising. And I do separate marketing advertising out. Okay. And again, lucky enough to end up at Red 70, which is where I learned the craft of advertising, but I certainly gained an appreciation of the difference between advertising and everything else.
Yeah, and you were there a long time.
Yeah, about 8 years.
Yeah. So that certainly an interesting place, but you certainly have made your mark on the town, I think, through your work at Red 70, mm-hmm. and now your work here. I've got to ask you about the thing on Facebook I kept seeing, which is shit Pip wears, right?
Right.
You're dressed in a fine suit today with some
thank
colorful
you.
Socks.
I knew you were coming. No, I won't go into why I wear what I wear, but when I was at Red 70, I had a colleague there, Brett, who's over at Brown Forman now, and he thought he would tease me and set up a blog and took photos of me all the time and posted these slanderous images of me. And, that's where it came from. I think I might have come up with a name, but he did all the dirty work.
I kind of missed that, Pip, actually, but I think you ought to. You know, to start that back up. But now tell me about Mightily. Where did that name come from?
It's interesting. When we needed a name that would separate us from everybody else. And again, we are a firm that starts with strategy, and there are various techniques for naming firms. The common ones.
Sorry that Rusty Satellite was already taken.
That's quite all right. We thought about Rusty Sheriff's Badge, but if you look that up, you'll find that that's probably not a good name for a company.
I have no idea.
You don't
is.
Want to know. Anyway, so there are sort of various conventions for naming firms like us. Some people sort of put what they do and sort of cobble it together with a funky ending to make it sound digital, and there are some that put two words together that don't make sense to come up with a cool word, and some that make words up like Google or stuff like that that sound kind of funky and weird. So there are sort of common ways of solving that problem, and we didn't want any of those solutions, so we actually came up with using an adverb, and it was a nice one. Nobody else that I know of uses an adverb for the name of a company, at least not in this region, so that was nice. That set us apart, and I think it says a lot about the way I like to solve problems, which and you've seen one of our cards, but we have 10 cards and they all have different elements of our brand on them, and one of those elements is like a little cowboy with a kid dressed as a cowboy with a bow and arrow. That's part of being mightily, you know, being courageous and being able to take on the world. And then there's one of an ant, and that means sort of punching above your weight. So the factors that go to make up mightily it's just a great word, and it does a very nice job of describing what we do. And most, I think it's fair to say that the names of most firms do not describe what they do. They're just sort of names they make up.
That's right. Well, yeah. I think that's true. There's a whole science to naming things. But yep. The growth of this company, I mean, I've started from scratch and been an entrepreneur, and that's sort of what this is. How did you, like, in the beginning, go out and find clients for this new company?
Again, I learned my trade at Red 70, and they don't go cold calling. They don't go after clients. They create a product that's attractive. They don't try to sell. They just make great stuff, and then people want to buy from them, and that's what we've done. We have ignored budgets. We have just built the best sites we can build, beautiful sites, intelligent sites, creative sites. They've got a lot of buzz, and really we just don't go out looking for business. It just comes to us, and it's great. Now, obviously, we have to do our stuff online, the SEO and all the other stuff you have to do out there, but we don't try to market. We don't try to sell ourselves. We just generally draw attention by the quality of our work, and to some degree, in my case, by the strength of the personalities involved. Lisa, my partner, is very well known and respected, and she'll get a lot of interest in the company because of her. And I think each of the players in the company go out and are strong advocates and protagonists for what we do.
Yeah. Well, I know that when you went there, there was plenty of buzz in the industry, I guess, around here about what you were doing. A lot of people are interested in that. Let me ask you, I mean, I heard what you just said there. Are there any specific, like, success stories that you can point to as an example of this strategy you have?
For us, specifically? God, honestly, every site we've built has been really successful. Sites can take like 5-6 months to build. Some we've built like in a week, but on the whole, they take a while. And we've only been around 8-9 months, so it's hard to have too many success stories.
But you're going from like 3 to 12 people, so there's something going on here, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's getting built.
Yeah, I think that we're getting ready to release a site, ELS. It's for high-risk investment. High-risk insurance, excuse me. And it's taken forever to build. I can't blame the client, Brian Huffing, because you might listen to this. But it's taken forever to build, but that will be, I think, a really important site for us. It's very creative. Okay. It's very beautiful. It's really smart. The Red Bull site, which you probably saw, got a lot of people interested in us. Mm-hmm. I think it's redbullrecycling.com.
Yeah, wasn't there some I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. I remember associating you with these unusual attention-getting designs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can't remember what that was, but I remember it. So, well, anyway, well, let's move on to talk about you and your life here in Louisville, because that's certainly interesting. What kind of things do you do when you are away from Mightily?
God, I love work. I love work, and I used to work all the time. Mm-hmm. Wife number three now does not allow that. No, she's great. I found, I got to say, a red 70 in here, you have to think so hard all the time, it just wears you the fuck out. Can I say
that? Yeah, this is the internet, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. it wears you the fuck out. So I used to work easily 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and now, and back then, you know, I'm lucky if I can do 7.5-8 hours. On the weekends, it really is, I just chill out. I'm pretty athletic. Unfortunately, I can't compete anymore, but I'm still still pretty engaged. A couple of hours every day working out, read a bit.
I guess that's, I have a lot in common. I mean, I don't think I can work as hard or as long as I used to, and it's just different.
Yeah, I find it's not so much my physical or even my mental stamina. I mean, with sports and stuff, it is. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it anymore. But with work, it's just the kind of work we're doing here. You just have to think all the time, and you have to stay engaged all the time. And in the jobs prior to this and my last one, it wasn't. It was more you just sort of would post it in. It was
right.
The same mechanism, and it's the way everybody else builds websites. It's the same site with a different logo and a different header and different pictures,
right.
You know, which anyone can do, and it's a lot of money in it, but that's not what we do. So we do work hard here, and that again, does bag me out a bit.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up here, but we're up here in this space. You're like doubling your size. When does the move take place, the move upstairs? You're moving on up, as they say.
Yeah. I wish I knew. We were supposed to move in a week or so ago. The painting just got finished. Unfortunately, the interior decorator is now on a two-week vacation in Europe, spending the down payment, no doubt. but we hope within a couple of weeks it's done. Half the furniture's here. The other half will come in within a week or so. So when it's done, you'll have to come back. And anybody who's listening in, we'd love for you to come by and see it too.
Yeah, it's a great space. I can't wait to see what you do with it. There's a couple of pieces of furniture around here, so at least we found a place to sit. But anyway, Pip, I'm glad to have you on the show, and appreciate you letting me come by.
Thank you, Rick.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And it is always fun. I think that's the thing that I like about this show is that getting to go down and see the various guests that I have in their workspace and hear the interesting stories like those that Pip and I talked about. It was a lot of fun, and always interested in what's going on in the advertising and marketing world. And so that's what I did. Now, this part of the show on Rusty Satellite is about the news that's going on in Louisville, and really in terms of significant, I guess, major news stories, it's been a little light on the local side. You know, everybody's talking about like the Ray Rice controversy in the NFL. In which the Ravens running back there's a video that was released that shows him it's a disturbing video abusing a woman who became his wife. The NFL took a strong action, suspended Rice. I honestly want to comment too much on the story because I haven't read the whole thing. I know a couple of things that you know, certainly any sort of domestic violence, anytime a man hits a woman, it's a serious situation and all that. But I also know, on the other hand, that it's not true in this case, but in a lot of times people who are in the public eye, celebrities, are targets of people who want to hurt them, make money off them, etc. So you never know what every situation, I'll say, is different. And situations like that happen every day in and around Louisville in our area. It is a serious situation, I think, brought on by economics and maybe character issues, lack of education. I don't know, but there's a lot of domestic violence that escalates into criminal activity. And it's very serious. So let's talk a little bit about, I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. I had a really great week of activities, I guess, starting last week. Last Thursday, I had the opportunity, my girlfriend Paula bought sort of a gift for us, bought me tickets to see Lyle Lovett and his large band up at Richmond, Kentucky, in the Fine Arts Center up there. It was a great show, as always. We'd seen, I've taken Paula to see Lyle at Iroquois Amphitheater in the summer, but this was with the full band, and it's quite a different experience. I'm not sure that the crowd in Richmond exactly knew what to think of it. They didn't do a whole lot. And it was a different kind of audience, but sure loved the show. Lyle never fails with his, you know, the 14-piece band that performed up there at Richmond. And then I want to say what else I did. If you're familiar, I always talk about my former guest, Rusty Satellite Show guest Larry Muhammad had a play called Murder the Devil, and it was down at a place called 1031 Vault. Which I'd never been before. It's a sort of fledgling theater program. It was really kind of a cool setting. I enjoyed the play. It was a little bit disturbing. Larry took on a really challenging topic involving a terrorist and Al Qaeda and a plot in the United States to have a jihad Of course, the actors, you know, if you're used to going to actors theater and you see actor, the players are so well rehearsed and so everything goes off without a hitch, nobody ever makes a mistake. Well, it's not like that with these young actors that were involved in this play, but it was certainly entertaining in a small, unique setting. I think I'll go back if they have something interesting worth seeing there. I certainly will go back. And, of course, then on Saturday, U of L football stopped Murray State. I was there at the Card March, which is a very if you're in Louisville, you know, you should do that sometime. The players and the coaches walk by. If you go on Facebook, you see a good shot that I got of Bobby Petrino basically glad-handing the crowd. And, you know, I don't want to jump the gun here, but I had good seats and was a real big fan of U of L football back when Petrino was here the first time. He went 41-9 in 4 years, and it wasn't just that he won; it was the way he won, the way the Cardinals during Bobby's time here just stomped people, and he never does. You know, they were up 60; they scored 66 points. And, you know, me and my group involved Rusty guest Mark Hebert and some of the guys he works with, we have seats up in the upper deck, the flight deck, and we always stay till the end, even when it's 66-21. And it's interesting to see the crowd filter out, and we always, I was hoping they'd get to 70. That was the goal. But they didn't quite make 70, but they could have. And Bobby called off the dogs since. They go on their first ACC road game this week to Virginia. So that'll be a very interesting trip for the Cardinals. I think they'll come – I hope they'll come away with a victory. And and we'll still be – well, they've actually got another road game after that, and then they come home for Wake Forest. So potentially get past Virginia. There's Florida International and Wake Forest. They'd be 5-0. Be moving up in the national rankings if you follow football. That's it's always a good and exciting thing. So Anyway, Sunday, you know, I've got all these activities I want to tell you about. Sunday, I got to my son Josh took me out for a round of golf. We've been trying to do this since Father's Day, and this was his Father's Day gift to me. And we went out to the polo fields where, you know, if you're into Groupon, you know, the Groupon for golf is really good. And so he had bought one. The expiration date was September 8th. It was like the next day. So we had to go that day. So we got a late tee time on Sunday. I know you don't want to hear about my golf exploits as much, but for the first time in my life, Josh couldn't believe it, and he's a witness, and you can call him and ask him if this really happened. I had 3 birdies in a row, and for the first time in my life, broke 40 for 9 holes with a 39 on the front at polo field. So, you know, when you see me, congratulate me on that feat. Certainly, it was a lot of fun. This past Monday, I went to the Breakfast of Champions. I'm one of the hosts of that, and we had Major General, the Adjutant General of Kentucky, a guy named Major Ed Tanini, spoke to the group. It was a nice group, and you know, it's really important work that, you know, I've never been a big fan of the military, but some things are certainly necessary and important, and what he does is really important. So was glad to be able to do that. I hope you make the next Breakfast of Champions. If you're paying attention to all the stuff that I get into, you'll certainly want to put that on your schedule. In November, we'll have the next Breakfast of Champions. I believe former Rusty Satellite guest Kent Euler is going to be the speaker. And you know, and certainly that will be another good, interesting event in the River City. This weekend, there's a lot of stuff going on. I know that the Highlands Festival is probably where I'll end up on Saturday. It's one of the best ones. Actually, Paul Thorne played there a couple of years ago, and I really like going down there. The festivals are a reflection of the people that live around there in those neighborhoods, and you know, certainly the Highlands. I'm looking forward in 2 weeks. It's the Nulu Festival, which is I guess my favorite one, because, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just because of the people I like to hang out with and see that I, you know, write stories about, et cetera, the Rusty Satellite guest. Maybe I'll have a guest related to the Nulu Festival in the next couple of weeks. That'd be good. Of course, in between those two is Jefferson Town's own Gaslight Festival. And if you know me, or if you're interested, and if you're listening to this, you'd like to come out and see the house that I live in during the Gaslight Festival. It's where I live is walking distance from the center of the Gaslight Festival Street Fest. And so I'm going to be hosting a few people over here. You know, I don't know if we're going to have enough. I've got parking spaces for, I think, 20 cars or so. And of course, that's going to be free. I could set up a thing to charge for parking, but if you know me and you'd like to come to the party, we're going to have what I'm calling a before, during, and after Gaslight Festival party on September 20th, Saturday night. So this is just the great time of year. You got no excuse for staying home on a Saturday night at this time of year. There's just too much fun and interesting stuff going on in our town. So anyway, that's about it. There's no Dan Johnson news this week. The Metro Councilman hasn't done anything to get himself in the news. The headlines are, not really. You know, the Allison Grimes Mitch McConnell race is, there's news about that every day. But I think people are just flat out not that interested. Most people have already made up their mind, and the things that those two do, I think we know a lot about them. I really do. I think the voting public is either apathetic or already knows everything they need to know to make their decision on voting. But that's not going to stop McConnell and Grimes from spending millions of dollars over the next few months to try to convince you to vote their way. I did see that James Comer announced for the Republican nomination for governor. That's not this election, but in 2015, he'll face Louisvillian Hal Heiner on the Republican primary next spring. So anyway, that's about all the news. I want to get to Kevin Gibson, who is sort of in our little fraternity of people who like to write, who like to write news stories. Kevin's a regular at Insider Louisville, and basically was able to quit his job in the corporate sector and become a full-time freelance writer like Steve Coombs, another Rusty Satellite guest that you know of, writes about food. Kevin writes about beer, among other things. And Kevin is, he's a lot of fun to hang around. We went down to the Against the Grain Brewery, had a cold beer in the middle of the afternoon, and talked about stuff. So here's the interview. Today I'm happy to be at the Against the Grain Brewery with Kevin Gibson, who knows a lot about one of my favorite subjects, beer.
Beer. All right? It's a magical thing. Magical thing.
Now, you liked it so much that, you're an accomplished writer and all that, but you liked beer so much you wrote a book about it.
I did, and this is something I had in mind for two or three years. And I was working corporate America and not liking my life, and had even kind of gotten away from the craft beer scene. I didn't have time or whatever, and I would still go to the breweries, but I didn't get involved in writing about it, which is what I really wanted to do. So I finally decided I'm going to come up with this book, and I found a publisher for it, signed a contract, and then I quit my job, and it's been a roller coaster ever since.
Wow.
A fun one.
It sounds like fun. You've got some other income, but let's talk about the book first. Tell me a little bit about, the book, how it's set up, what's in it.
Well, there was a book about Louisville brewing history that came out in the 90s that really is a very deep dive. I mean, you can teach a series of college courses with that book. I wanted to approach it from knowing that I only had a certain amount of space. I wanted to approach it from more of a sociological aspect. Why was beer so important to Louisvillians down through the last 150 or so years? What brought it on? What were people doing? What were they drinking? Why did they enjoy it so much? And what impact did it have on the economy and society and people's awareness? If you talk to anybody over 40 or 45 years old, like us, they're going to know Fall City, Fairs, and Ertl's.
Yeah.
Those are iconic brands in this city. And what people don't know is that we were like a top 10 or 15 brewing city in America at one point. We were competing with St. Louis and Milwaukee. And take away Prohibition and make things go a little bit differently, and we might still be that. But Prohibition sort of killed it. And then what killed us in the 40s and 50s was Anheuser-Busch survived so well, and Miller survived so well, that they had more money. And they started, and refrigeration became better because you had trucks. And then all of a sudden, we're getting choked out. Our brewers are getting choked out by these guys. So
interesting. Oh, well, I didn't know. My first beer was a Fall City I stole out of my mom's refrigerator. So
that sounds like a familiar story.
It is. But is the book about brewing in Louisville?
It's really more about drinking in Louisville. It's, mm-hmm. There was a beer style that was invented here called Kentucky Common. Not everyone knows that. The beer nerds do, but the average Joe doesn't. And it's one of three, I think, beer styles that are indigenous to America.
Okay. When you say beer style, I don't know what that
means.
Well,
it's called Kentucky Common. So if you talk about a stout or a porter or an IPA, an APA, that's a beer style. Pilsner.
Okay.
This is a beer, so it's like a cream ale, but it's a style all its own, just made a little differently.
Okay.
So it's just interesting to me that we've got something. It's not just about bourbon here, believe it or not. It's just we just think it is.
Well, maybe you can help me out here because, I've been to places and, like my son, for example, points to me and says, "Dad, you drink that like the Blue Moon and the Shock Top and all, and he thinks those are garbage beers." But, what kind of beer should I be looking for when I go out? If I want to not be looked at by him as a...
All the beer nerds are going to look down their nose at you. I don't like those beers either, but here's the way I try to look at those. That's a gateway beer, okay?
Okay.
You step a step above, more or less, Bud Light.
Yeah.
So you're drinking something with a little more flavor. It's not... I don't think it's high quality. It's just flavored.
Yeah.
It's got flavors in it, but
right.
So it's different. But if you're willing to do that, then you're willing to take the next step and maybe get a local beer.
Uh-huh.
You know, and to me, it's about local because 5,500 years ago, that's all you could get really was local beer.
Right.
You walked down the street with a bucket and they filled it up and you took it home and you drank it on your front porch.
Right.
So that's why I really love to support the local brewers, which is why I suggested we come here today.
Yeah, and it's a great place. Which brings me to our next question. I got a place, but when you I guess you do a lot of research for the book. I love the idea of doing that, but. Let me ask you this. I know you know Sergio's World of Beers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, I've been in that place, and who knew there were... I mean, there are literally 1,000 or so...
1,500, I think they're up to now.
1,500 different beers.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's insane. And they've got one Bud Light.
Yeah. Now, that is a place they'll insult you if you order a Bud Light, right?
I was in there with my girlfriend a few weeks ago, and she asked for a water, and he handed her a Bud Light from behind the bar. So I don't think it was insulting. I think he was just being playful. He's like, don't drink that stuff in here. You know, that's not why you come here. Actually, she was my DD, so, you know.
Yeah, well, good for her. Well, you got this beer book out, and you're mm-hmm. selling it, you're doing appearances, et cetera. But you know, I was going to say to having some income coming in all this time. I know you write for Insider Louisville.
Yeah.
You do some other stuff. What else do you do?
Well, I write for Leo still. I've been writing for them for almost 20 years. And then that's just a, you know, maybe a couple articles a month. But I also write for a site called alcoholprofessor.com,
okay.
Which is based out of New York. So I write for them pretty often. I'm like one of their main beer writers.
Okay.
So I write about national stuff rather than local stuff.
Okay.
And then, you know, I do some corporate writing. I do some, you know, I write some radio commercials and stuff like that just here and there. And I actually help edit a bourbon blog site that's like, it's kind of top secret. So this guy has
out.
this blog site, and he doesn't want anyone to know who he is because he's pretty well known in bourbon. And so he goes by a pseudonym, and I'm the one who edits it, you know, sometimes. it's funny because people are like, who is this guy? I'm like, I know who he is because he pays me to help him with his blog.
Well, that's a lot of work. I don't guess you're going to be going out applying for jobs in corporate marketing.
No, never again. I would rather just wither and die.
And, well, I know I'm in that world, but I still, you know, have a lot of fun with this show and everything. But you know, like on Inside Louisville, you seem to get to write about the fun stuff, right?
And that was my goal all along, is to write about things I want to write about. I love to write about anything involved with food or drink. I like music, sports, and I like to write stories that are community focused, positive stories.
Sure.
You know, I'm actually working on a story now about MERF, Musicians Emergency Relief Fund, which helps musicians that don't have insurance in times of need. If they're sick, they can't pay their bills. And they're running out of money. They need money, so I'm going to write a story and try to get people to donate. That's the kind of stuff I like to do.
So you can, you know, get some reward out of it.
Exactly.
You
it's a personal reward.
Sure. And you used to be in a band, or you still are?
I still am. I'm actually in two bands. I don't have much time to sleep or eat, but my band.
Well,
is,
you don't have to waste time going to a job every day.
That's it helps. Most afternoons I'm sitting around writing in a brewery, but my band is called the Uncommon Houseflies. I'm also in the Nick Pay Band, and Nick Pay Band, we're actually playing a show in advance of Paul McCartney's show on October 18th, I think it is. So that's. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of people there early for the McCartney show, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So what kind of music?
Well, my band is sort of like, you ever heard of Fountains of Wayne? Bare Naked Ladies, Green Day.
Yeah.
Sort of like that, kind of with funny lyrics, silly lyrics.
Okay.
And then, of course, for the Paul show, we'll be playing all Beatles songs. But Nick is sort of folk pop, so it's kind of interesting that we get on stage as the Uncommon Houseflies. He's in my band as well. So we get on stage as Uncommon Houseflies and turn it up and get really loud. And his shows are more subdued, you know.
Okay.
A lot of fun, though.
Other than this McCartney show, what other kind of places you play in town?
Whoever will have us. Nick's been playing a lot of shows by himself lately, but we tend to play like events, like little small festivals and things like that. And the Uncommon Houseflies, we play just kind of sporadically lately, just because I'm so busy. But we play in bars or, you know, whatever. We played in Boston. We played in Chicago. I mean, we traveled some. It's fun.
Okay, and last thing, you told me briefly, you know, you got this book published. Now you got another one on the drawing board,
yes,
right?
And I'm almost afraid to say anything because I'm afraid someone will steal the idea. But there was a murder that occurred here in 1909 that I found while researching the beer book, and I just became obsessed with it because the story was so heartbreaking that I became really, really into, I wanted to tell the story because the story's not really been told in a book form, you know, and it's just such a crazy story, and I think the victim deserves to be recognized for what happened to her, and she was an 8-year-old girl who didn't deserve what happened to her, and I get choked up just thinking about it, forgive me, but it's, so I want to tell her story, and I want to make sure that she's remembered and not forgotten. So,
well, that's a wonderful tease for the book, and we'll look forward to
it. It should be out in the spring, so let's get back together in the spring. We can talk about it more.
We'll be back again. So I appreciate you forcing me to come down here to Against the Grain.
You should have a beer with me.
Yeah, I should. So Kevin Gibson, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
You bet. Thank you.
And it's another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show in the can, episode number 62. I'm so really enjoy doing this show every week. It's a lot of fun, and I hope, based on the numbers, I'll tell you, a bunch of people out there are listening to the show. If you have any ideas for future guests, people you'd like to see me interview on the show that are among the most interesting people in the Ville, I welcome your suggestions. You can write me in a number of ways. Rick@LouisvilleKY.com is one of the best ways. And remember, there's a lot going on in this town. You got to get out there and enjoy it. And, be a supporter of what's going on in Louisville. It's really, it just seems like times of year like this, when there's so much going on, you just want to, you want to get out there and do it. So anyway, I want to give thanks to my sponsors here at the show, the Passport Health Plans. And by the way, tomorrow on Insider Louisville, on Thursday, September 11th, Insider Louisville publish another piece sponsored by Passport about health. It has to do with Healthy Hoops Kentucky program to combat asthma. It's a really great program. I encourage you to tune in for that. And then again, thanks to my other sponsor, Bob Sekuller, the number one real estate agent in town with the Sekuller Medley team. And also thanks to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, and the crew at Louisville.am. Be sure and tune in to some of the other programming here on the Louisville.am network. And thanks for listening to this one. I really appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again when I'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@LouisvilleKY.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.